We'll start today's show. Let me tell you about the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Get the lunch special, $4.99, two sides, bread, 32-ounce drink. Today, red beans and rice. Take advantage of that. You also can save money at the pump with the Speed Pass Plus out, the Mobile Rewards Program, and much more there with the Blue Sky in Oxford and all Blue Sky locations throughout Mississippi. Also, remember the Stadium Cups at the Pavilion. Buy one of those every time you pass a Blue Sky, 49-cent fill-ups with the Oxford Exxon. Also coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio, 662-257-1900. That is in Amory, Mississippi on Highway 25 South. Because you give Corey Clark a call, 15 minutes, you get a quote, shopping around, take it. It's going to be the best deal. So when you're signing the paperwork, mention the podcast, another $500 off when you do that with Clark Ford and the Oxford Exxon podcast. Now onto the show.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
That broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready. Clark Ford Studio this morning. Appreciate everybody who checked in with my daughter yesterday. We had a tonsil surgery. We had a sinus surgery all bundled into one. Had a pretty good day. Did not have the best night in the world, but we're hanging in there back this morning. So, again, thanks to everyone who did check in for that. Ole Miss basketball returns to the court tomorrow night, hosting Texas A&M at the Pavilion. Probably get into that a little more tomorrow, as tomorrow is also National Signing Day, the second one, the lesser important one, suddenly, after a couple years of early signing day. But there is some stuff going on for the Rebels, and they had an interesting Monday night, football and baseball-wise. We'll talk about that a good bit today on the show. Last night, John Rhys Plumlee, the quarterback out of Oak Grove, potentially play some other positions as well in the football field, a very accomplished baseball player as well. He's the number 7 baseball player in the state per Perfect Game. He pulled the trigger, choosing Ole Miss. He was a longtime Georgia commit. And then a couple hours after that, at least in California, probably at the same time, Derek Diamond, a top 25 national baseball player, picked the Rebels over LSU, Virginia, TCU, and Wake Forest. So I've got a good bit of information on the baseball side of things on rebelgrove.com with both those guys. On the football side of things, Russell and Chad Simmons with a good bit of that. So as Ole Miss closes in here, we still got Ely, we still got Mingo, still got a lot of stuff to talk about. There's a soft verbal that details all that. Russell gives predictions. You can find that in the feed that you normally do. It's already up in all the places that you get that their podcast. But 36 hours out, actually 24 hours out by this point, a little less than that even. If nothing else, Neil, we're getting a little bit of, not really drama, but a little bit of a few late storylines that maybe I wasn't necessarily expecting a month ago for February.
Yeah. So far, Russell's 1-for-1 on predictions. He's put in a future cast. I've had people say they want predictions. A future cast is a very clear prediction. It's 100 or 0 on future cast. There's no percentages. He's put in a future cast for Jerry and Ely to Ole Miss. He did a prediction on every known prospect remaining on the board.
So you're saying we have secret commits? Is that what you're saying? You said
no. Well, I said, yeah, I know. I said known because there's always that chance that there's somebody that they add. I don't know of one. Russell did not know of one, but I've learned in this to leave options open. Otherwise, you get criticized for not knowing about something. So we'll openly admit that we don't know about it. So anyway, that's all there. And if Russell's right, it's probably as good of a final day as we can. Russell just told me that the picture I put up is not
one Jonathan Mingo.
Yeah, and that's what the. It came up when I did his name, so I'll have to go fix it.
Did you do the prospect or the search?
Prospect.
Yeah. Usually that one's right. The search is all over the place. We have a couple different ways to add photos in our system, and one is not very reliable.
No, I use the prospect.
He's fixing it. You don't have to.
Oh, he's fixing it?
Yeah. Okay. He's repairing it. yeah, anyway, sorry we had that going on all of a sudden there, but I saw the conversation on the board, and I don't necessarily want to get off of the recruiting minutia because that's Russell's territory and I don't know enough about it, but it can be, we always talk about and, so many things are and, so few things are or and one single solitary thing. We're back to another one of those again where we can acknowledge that December did not go well for Ole Miss. They did not close well in December while acknowledging that if you pulled off all these in February, you had a good February close. It can be both. It does not have to – one does not have to override the other one. One does not change what happens in the other one. So, there, you know, it doesn't just stop because December did not go well. No one's arguing that December went well. But if you find a way, you added Plumlee. They find a way to keep Mingo by chance. I don't know what Russell said. I haven't listened to this off verbal.
I mean, if I recall correctly, and if I recall correctly, I think he's predicting Mingo to Ole Miss.
Okay. So, yeah, you do those
Mingo's
things.
Mingo's from Brandon, right?
He is, yeah.
Okay.
If you do all those things, this part goes okay. I mean, you know, there's still issues, but – you know, it's also interesting a little bit, and I did hear Russell mention this while I was just editing this morning, is all the talk of, oh, you just go jump in the transfer portal. It's not that simple. The transfer portal is – now, look, it is a move-down situation, but a lot of the players that would be relevant in the SEC, everybody in the country is going after those players. It's not where you just go grab them. And frankly, the number of players that can help you, whether it be depth or especially on a higher capacity than that, few and far between, because the reason they're transferring is they couldn't get on the field most likely wherever they are. And there's only a few programs where that trickle-down effect is going to help a team in the SEC. So I think we're undervaluing some of the prospects left on the board in February, and I think we're way overvaluing the possibility that the transfer portal is this genie in the bottle that's going to help all these Power 5 programs, especially in the major conferences.
Yeah. There might be a guy or two that can give you some depth or whatnot.
Sure, yeah.
But you're not going to build your program around transfer portals. They're in the transfer portal for a reason. Russell mentioned a couple of guys. We had a brief conversation after the podcast that we might do a very short soft verbal later this week where we talk about a handful of specific names that are in the transfer portal that may or may not be Ole Miss targets depending on what happens tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, if you're waiting on that to be the end-all, be-all answer to a program, you're in for a really long wait. And I couldn't agree more about what you said about and. No one's arguing that December went well. I don't know anybody that's arguing that. The close to December's class did not go well. It appears that the close to this class might go fairly well. There's just so much hyperbole out there. There's so much vehemence out there on both sides. There's people who blindly defend no matter what, and there are people who just attack no matter what. The truth is somewhere in the middle. It's always somewhere in the middle. Almost always, they did some things well. Russell talks about all this. He goes in and evaluates the class and does a pretty thorough job of it. They did some things well. They left some holes in this class. There's no way around that.
And those holes aren't fixable right now. It is what it is.
Yeah, they're going to have to try to. We're going to have this conversation. It's February, what's today, the 7th, 6th, 7th? I don't know. I'll lose track. Today's the 5th?
Today's the 5th.
Okay. For some reason, all night I dreamt that it was the 7th or the 8th. And I
wrote the wrong date on the surgery form yesterday morning. I had to redo it because I was all off.
We're going to have this conversation 1,000 times, hopefully not literally 1,000, but probably 100, between now and the date of the first game, which I think is like August the 30th or 31st or something. This is, if you're going to evaluate the coming football season on nothing other than wins and losses, that's it. Concrete. I think this is going to be a really frustrating year for you. If you evaluate it on organization, development, young players, how young players look as the season goes along, things of that nature. I think it will be a far more complex, thorough, complete, accurate representation of where the program is or isn't by the time the Egg Bowl rolls around. But there are these two camps right now. This is in every fan base, but in Ole Miss, man, they are obvious to the point of it being, like, we have the restaurant discussion about eating alone. I don't want to have a conversation about Ole Miss football out in public because so many people are on one of two extremes. They're either, this was a horrible hire and everybody should be fired, the whole thing's a complete disaster. Or they're in the, he's our guy and it's going to work. I don't see how you can say either one right now. To me, it's a complete, it's like judging a case when you haven't heard from one of the two sides yet. You've heard from the prosecution but not the defense, or the defense and not the prosecution. How can you possibly really know what the verdict is? There's a lot left out there. This class is indicative of that. They went out and it appears that they won some recruiting battles in January. They absolutely won some recruiting battles in January. Now, they lost some recruiting battles. It doesn't appear that they're going to get Lakia Henry. It appears that he's going to Arkansas, and that is a loss.
At the position especially.
That is a loss.
Still in Oladarius Cox.
But I'm never going to be the guy, and this is nothing against Lakia Henry. You and I both met him. He was a very impressive young man.
He was.
But I'm never going to be the guy that goes wild about a JUCO one way or the other. You've known me for a while. I have my opinion is they're in JUCO for a reason, and usually that reason is not positive. Doesn't mean that you don't have JUCO impact. Ole Miss had a lot of JUCO impact last year from Scotty Phillips. You can have impact from JUCO, but there are lots of JUCOs. Bruce Stevens comes to mind, where they just can't ever make that jump. It is a big, big jump from the JUCO level to the SEC level, and some kids, through no fault of anybody, just can't make it. We see it all the time. Or they can't make it in year one, and then they have an impact their senior year. So I'm not going to go crazy about Lakia Henry. And then if he ends up going to Arkansas and winning the Butkus Award, well, good for him. He seems like a really good kid, and we'll be happy for him.
Yeah, they seem to have the same transition as high school kids. So you don't know. I mean, they're freshmen that pop off the page, and a lot of them – frankly, in the instant gratification society we're in, that by the time they get to a redshirt sophomore year, people have forgotten about them. They still got 3 years of eligibility remaining when you come out of high school.
Yeah.
But JUCO guys don't have that luxury. It's 1 year or second year and out. And, I mean, yeah, we've seen it over the course of a lot of years. I mean, even a guy incredibly talented from, I guess, 10 years ago almost now, you know, Wayne Dorsey takes forever, you know, sometimes to click and different things. So, I mean, it shows you, and now these were different situations because they'd been at D1 programs, but, I mean, it shows you how lightning in a bottle and how – in some ways, lucky Ole Miss was at the quarterback position with Bo and Chad over the years because it was just instantaneous, and that's not a good expectation when you're evaluating JUCO players. But
yeah, I mean, it happens, but by and large, you don't get that impact. And you know, these freshmen they're bringing in, I mean, the odds are overwhelming that, you know, most of them are not going to have huge impacts their first year. You know, I don't know what position Plumlee's going to play, for example. Maybe he's playing quarterback. If he's playing
quarterback. He starts at quarterback. I think he starts his career at quarterback.
Which means he probably won't have much of an impact next year. If Ely comes to campus, we're going to have that conversation another 100 times, too. If Ely comes to campus, I would expect that he would be in a position to have a pretty big impact because of the position he plays. You know, if Mingo signs with Ole Miss, I don't know what kind of impact he has immediately. He plays a position where he can have a pretty early impact. We'll just wait and see. They didn't do great at linebacker. They didn't do great on the defensive line. They go into the next recruiting cycle, and I say this not cryptically, but just to sort of appease the handful of people out there that are, by God, they want change. No matter who the coach is, in the next recruiting cycle, they've got to go win on the defensive side in the recruiting battles, or else it will be absolute crisis point.
Everywhere on the defensive side.
Yeah,
I mean, linebacker is the most obvious, but there's nowhere that doesn't have that situation.
D-line, everywhere.
It's a very uneven roster.
Yeah.
It is. And, I mean, that's the other part of the 2019 thing is, look, that offensive side is in full transition mode right now. Full transition mode at all over the place. Offensive line, even at wide, you know, obviously at wide receiver, at tight end, at quarterback. I mean, the only thing coming back in one piece is running back, and there's not a lot of depth there. So, I mean, even early on, you can't go into this having the expectation of, hey, Matt Corral and the boys have got to score 42 a game. It's going to be a bit. It's going to be a minute. Even if it works out, it's going to be a minute. So, I mean, I don't know why we're necessarily discussing this on February the 5th, but it's just kind of where the conversation
Well, just kind of where recruiting goes. I mean, recruiting is, okay, you won the battle. Now, how do they help you? It's going to be a very young, inexperienced team. Period. There's this animus that's out there about the program. I've made the credit card analogy so many times, but it is the right analogy. 2019 is the year that the bill comes in. The card has been maxed out. The interest rate is high. And you have to pay it off and put the card away. That is not as fun as just spending. Were you unfairly persecuted by the NCAA? Absolutely. But the penalty is what the penalty is. The case is over. The appeals process is done. It is what it is, what it is, what it is. And now's the time to pay the bill. And this is that year. It is absolutely a rebuild. And on the defensive side, it's a complete rebuild. On the offensive side, it's a lot of rebuilding. And so you're recruiting. We were talking about the transfer market. You're just not going to be able to go out into the transfer market and get seven or eight guys who come in, step in to the starting lineup, and put Band-Aids on the wounds. You're going to have to coach your way and coax your way, C-O-A-X, your way through growing pains.
Just reading this here. We were going to a lot of other stuff. I want to kind of break down Plumlee and some stuff in a second, but I guess really fortunate and unfortunate situation all at the same time. Reading the Clarion Ledger, a division chief with the Jackson Fire Department was struck by a bullet while sleeping in his bed Sunday night. Police said in a news release the shot was fired from a gun outside a home on Barber Ann Drive Sunday, striking a man inside. Jackson Fire Chief Willie Owens identified the victim as Division Fire Chief Craig Odoms. He was lying in his bed with his wife when a bullet came through his daughter's window, then through the bedroom before striking Odoms. He underwent surgery at the University of Mississippi Medical Center Monday, and it missed every vital organ. He's going to be fine. But dang. Wow. Just kind of – that struck me as I saw a headline. I had to kind of click on it there for a second.
Damn.
I mean, like I said, thoughts with him. Just good and bad. Like, whoa. That's kind of startling when you see it. That's one headline that was not clickbait that did make me click on it when I saw it splash through there. So – I have four more free articles remaining, apparently. No.
You're not subscribing?
I have not subscribed.
Did you see where fans leave games after the game's over? Did you see that? I didn't know that. Because I always thought they
stayed. I thought they just had the expectation that a concert or something was probably coming afterwards, so you better keep your seat.
Because, you know, I don't
– Maybe you'll get another meal – and you eat in the stands. Maybe that's what you do. Steak and Shake stays open. Raising Cane stays open.
Yeah, I mean, I have to stay because I have to work. I just assume that everybody else stayed and worked too. But now that I think about it, when I go down to the media area at the end of a game, when I come out, well, I don't. I used to go back through the stands, and they would be empty now that I think about it. But now I leave through the elevator and go into the parking garage, so I don't know whether the arena is still full or not.
Maybe it was in Starkville when you went for the state game.
It could
well.
No, because in that game.
That is your Skype for some reason ringing.
Jay Tate tried to call me on Skype. For whatever reason, in that game, I went back because of where Mississippi State puts media. It's in the little area between the first and second levels.
All right.
I went back to my seat after the interview stuff to write.
So you did clear out.
I mean, there were some people left, like 15, 20 people probably in the building.
But not 4 or 5,000.
Well, I mean, if I remember right, there were 8 or 9,000 people at the game. And now that I think about it.
At a men's game.
Yeah, at a men's game. Makes you wonder how many would have been at a women's game. My God, hundreds of thousands. Anyway, I mean, let's do the math here. So there was, let's call it 9,000 people. It was a very good atmosphere that day in Starkville. Mm-hmm. Let's call it 9,000 people. When I went back to my seat, not including fellow media, I will say there were 20 people in the building. So let me see if I can do the math correctly. 9,000 minus the 20, carry the 7. That would be 8,980 people, roughly.
That did exit
that
the premises.
That were there, were no longer there. 35, 40 minutes later. It's a mystery. That is a mystery. I don't know. God, I don't know that I can come up with the solution. Did they? Do you think it was magic? Do you think it was like a spiritual thing? Like a religious thing? Something happened?
There's a lot of try hard going on with that one right now, isn't there?
I mean, is it possible that it was some sort of a rapture? And those people just disappeared?
Bulk kidnapping, if you will.
Yeah. You know how like a plane just goes, falls off the radar and it's just gone?
Well, I mean, it didn't really get reported, so it's probably aliens.
Son of a bitch. That's a possibility. Yeah. You can't rule it out. Can't rule it out.
I mean, it would have been more of a possibility.
No, no, I'm serious. There were 9,000 people in that building and then they weren't there. And apparently exiting a building, I mean, no, think about it. Hold on. Exiting a building at the conclusion of the event is newsworthy. I did not see that day a report that people exited Humphrey Coliseum. So, Chase, this is a national news story that we are breaking right here on this Potato Log podcast. There are 8,980-ish people unaccounted for. Unaccounted for. It was a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem. This is the kind of story that if the Clarion Ledger would jump on it, those sons of bitches might actually get back in business.
For the blessed souls, there still are accounted for. Scripted Jewelry, scriptedjewelry.com is the website. Go check it out. You got one more day. February 6th is the cutoff day for the rush shipping to get your product before Valentine's Day. Celebrating love, family members, and giving the best gifts because you put your special message on that piece of jewelry for the special someone in your life. Somebody in Tallahassee just brought a bracelet a second ago, as I see on the website. Turnaround times work. Again, one more day to get there. And when you're checking out, REBELS10. Rebels 10, 10% off with Scripted Jewelry. So go to the website and check them out.
The Ole Miss men's basketball team returns to the pavilion on Wednesday, February the 6th, as they take on Texas A&M. Special midweek pricing is available as tickets start at just $15. To purchase, visit OleMissTix.com. The game begins at 6, I believe. Is that right?
I have no idea, but I'll look. Go ahead.
I'm pretty sure. Be careful when the game is over. Don't fall victim to some sort of a rapture or something, the way that happened in Starkville. Ole Miss baseball season right around the corner. Season tickets start at just $150 for the number 13 preseason-ranked Diamond Rebels. To purchase, visit OleMissTix.com. The Ole Miss men's tennis team returns to Oxford fresh off a top 25 road victory over Oklahoma State as they take on Alcorn State on Saturday, February the 9th at noon. Come hungry as fans will receive free pizza. As always, admission is free. For more info, visit OleMissSports.com. Yeah, now after the news that we're breaking about what happens to you, these schools are going to have to start doing things like free pizza to get people to come to games because no one knows what happens to you when the game's over. Do you disappear? Like the Bermuda Triangle.
You teleport. Amelia Earhart. That's what she did. She went to a sporting event.
You know, now that you think about it, maybe she was going to the French Open.
Maybe.
Maybe she was going to a soccer game.
Better off just to stay home. You can do that by getting a house and then checking out Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Seto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is out of Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, they'll just give you the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLO, that's JLOWE, at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. And then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Guests will join us on the Patterson and Earhart hotline. Patterson and Earhart, attorneys at law, specialize in personal injury law and real estate law, but theirs is a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. When you contact Patterson and Earhart, you speak to one of the partners in the firm. Matt's who will handle your case, not some paralegal at a faceless corporate firm. If Patterson and Earhart can't help you, they'll refer you to someone who can. John Calvin Patterson and Wes Earhart are Ole Miss guys. They're local guys. And when you call them, you're going to get one of them on the phone within the same day, guaranteed. So whether you've been injured in a car wreck or have other legal issues, give them a call at 662-526-1992. Check out their website, pelaws.com. Your initial consultation is free.
Yeah, your schedule for NCAA basketball and the SEC as we move on with the show tonight. South Carolina at Kentucky. That's an SEC Network start at 6 o'clock. Vanderbilt at Arkansas. If you just really got to have some basketball in your life, that's the second part of that doubleheader at 8. Missouri is in Knoxville to face the Volunteers that now have the nation's longest winning streak currently. They are 20-1, and that game's at 8 o'clock on ESPN2. And then on ESPNU at 8 o'clock, Florida at Auburn. So another one there. And then tomorrow night, as Neil mentioned, Ole Miss and A&M is 6 o'clock. The Aggies are 8-12 overall. Ole Miss now at 14-7, SEC Network. Georgia at Alabama. That is on SEC Network at 8 is a doubleheader. And then your little more national game tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, the LSU Tigers visit Humphrey Coliseum and the Mississippi State Bulldogs. So your midweek schedule for the SEC there.
Some pretty good games.
Yeah, not bad games.
No.
So, last night, give us a little bit again. We need a lot more detail on the board. Give a little bit of the here, kind of tease it a little bit. Plumlee commits to Ole Miss, had long been committed to Georgia. I know Ohio State, Auburn, Duke were all in the mix to some extent. Not sure who else, frankly. But he's a two-sport guy. Not a big combine guy, not somebody who played in tons of tournaments. He did he didn't make the all-tournament team, playing with the East Coast Sox Select team last summer in the 17 and under World Wood Bat Association tournament, basically a big tournament in Georgia to simplify it for people. But nonetheless, ranking probably a little down because he's not the guy that just goes and plays travel baseball every single weekend like a lot of guys that are in that air, if you will. And I haven't noticed this, just kind of passing it through a little bit. Mississippi had a really good year with high school baseball. About 25 guys are going to sign D1 scholarships in high school baseball this year, from judging by the rankings and the teams that they are committed to. But with Plumlee, there's a couple elements here that I find interesting. First is what position he's going to play in football, which we don't know yet, and how that kind of corresponds to the time he has available for baseball, because he wants to play both sports. He's good enough to play both sports at the college level, and to do it, and I think he has the right drive and personality from the people I've talked to, some coaches, scouts, and whatnot, but it's a lot of work. You've got to do this and to pull it off, you've got to go hit on your own a lot. You've got to make your own time. You've got to really practice on your own schedule, and then you pick up everything else kind of when you can, and I think that's much easier for anyone that's not a quarterback. I question it a little bit on the quarterback level. It's happened. It's worked at places, but it's very, very, very hard. So that's something I'm kind of interested in. And then the other part is I don't know exactly how much, but I do think he's going to have a decision to make this summer. I reported this about a month ago, and I stand by this. I don't think the opinions have changed from the people I talked to. He's going to get a decent six-figure offer, in my opinion, to play college football and then play professional baseball and to do it that way. I think he's the prime candidate. We always talk about Jerry and Ely. Jerry and Ely's not the prime candidate for this kind of thing. A guy like Plumlee sort of is. He's picked or projected fourth to seventh round, somewhere in there. They can take some flyers. They're not overly worried about it if the kid doesn't sign, but they can make it competitive for him. But I think they've got to really buy him out to make him do that. I think they've probably got to overpay, and I don't necessarily think they'll overpay. So I'm intrigued by Plumlee from a baseball standpoint, just from logistics, how this works, what decision he ends up making, and then, frankly, what position he ends up at, because I do think, especially in a Rich Rodriguez offense, they want to look at him at quarterback. I think he's the kind of athlete that they'd like to run around a little bit and play that position. Not necessarily a la Pat White, but you know what I mean. But that makes the baseball part a lot more complicated. So Ole Miss baseball potentially gets a really good one with Plumlee last night. We'll see how it shakes out. And the better part for Ole Miss, at least from a baseball standpoint, 100% free. He's on football scholarship, so that does not cost Ole Miss anything from a scholarship standpoint.
Yeah, of the two that we're going to talk about here, he and Ely, he's the one that is, in my opinion, more likely to play college baseball.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Yeah.
Yet, you know, I mean, if somebody took a flyer on him, see, here's where the organizations can – he also, because of the way the draft works now, he's a guy that you could – taking the fourth round, offer him fourth round slot, you know, and if he doesn't take it, you'd have that to put in your pool.
Yeah.
So who knows? That's the bottom line answer, and as I have discovered with, it's a very small minority of subscribers, very, very, very small, but there are some who, by God, they want absolutes. There is no absolute answer on this until after the draft.
At minimum, early June.
Yes. There is no absolute answer on Jerry and Ely, John Rhys Plumlee, Derek Diamond, lots of folks, until the draft is done, until you get selected, and until they pick up the phone and they say, hey, this is the Chicago White Sox. We're offering you X thousand, X million, X whatever, and we need an answer in 72 hours.
Or, frankly, about 8 minutes.
Yeah. So, no one knows. I can't project that. I mean, I just broke a major national story on this podcast.
You can only do so much.
You can't be asking for more. Something happened in Starkville that day. More than 8,800 people just disappeared off the face of the earth, and you're worried about where a kid's going to play baseball? Come on, people, get your priorities straight. There's no way to know. There's no way on Jerry and Ely. Jerry and Ely today can be leaning heavily to playing football. But some team takes him in the seventh pick of the draft and says, we'll give you $5.2 million. Okay, well, now this decision's a little different. It's always different when it's real.
Yeah, theoretical money and actual money are two different conversations.
You know, and the who knows on Diamond? Maybe he goes second round and he goes, no, I'm going to go play college. College obviously matters to him. He's a smart kid. Good grades, a good ACT, all that stuff. He was going to go to Stanford. Academics matter.
Yeah. The quick rehash on Derek Diamond, he's the number 24 player overall in the country. He's the number 2 player in California. He was committed to Stanford since October of 17, I believe. And if you'd like a job that you do not want in college baseball, apparently it's a Stanford Cardinal, because the admissions office just called up Derek Diamond one day and goes, sorry, bud, not getting in.
Yeah.
No preferential treatment for baseball players. 4.0 GPA, 27 ACT per perfect game. I'll take the word for it. Not a dumb kid. Bright kid.
Yeah.
But had to reevaluate things. Clearly, because of his ability, he was rated by Perfect Game the number 3 2-way player in the country. He's good enough to get a scholarship offensively with the bat, but he's a pitcher. He's an elite, potentially, arm. But he's right-handed. Maxes out 92-93, which is not getting you drafted in the first round by itself. That's
right.
Not enough.
Nope.
He's as I wrote this morning, he's the lottery ticket you want. If you're going to have a lottery ticket, that's the one I want, because he could blow up and suddenly hit some fives and sixes and he's gone. Or he could slide, I mean, just a smidgen, and all of a sudden he's in college. So that's the one you want to go in with. I was hearing a lot of LSU. Frankly, I kind of thought it was LSU to the point of I'd stopped covering it. And then last night, 8, 9, 10 o'clock, something like that, he announces his commitment to Ole Miss, again, over Virginia, TCU. But really, really LSU, I think, finished second. I have not spoken with Mr. Diamond. Comes from a really athletic family. Both parents were college athletes in Illinois at different schools. I think one at Southern Illinois, one at Illinois State. The dad played college football. The mother was a collegiate swimmer. So it's interesting. It's one to follow. He's about a 6'7" runner. Got pretty good wheels as well. So he's just an athlete, frankly, that happens to play baseball. And we'll see where it shakes out. But for Ole Miss, and also for two kids that may or may not show up, their ranking got heavily elevated last night. And that's even without the potential of Jerry and Ely signing, adding to that as well. We'll see what the August re-ranking show up. But as of now, Ole Miss number 6 nationally in the 2019 class, with Plumlee and Diamond added last night. So anyway, I think Plumlee's 342 national, if I have that correct. So something like that.
Yeah. So bottom line is, I mean, I've already gotten the question in the mailbag. What do you think he's going to do? I don't know. And that's not a smart aleck answer. There's no way to know. I don't know. It only takes one, like Chase just said. He could slide a little, and it only takes one team to go, no, I love this kid. For example, I'll give you an example. I was reading about the Cubs draft this last year. They took Nico Horner, ironically, from Stanford. And when they took him, there were a handful of people around baseball that went, man, the Cubs reached. And then what you found out was the area scout who scouted that area loved him. And they got the regional scout to come look. He loved him too. So much that all of a sudden they got Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and Gary Hughes involved. And they all loved him. And before you know it, they're all watching the draft, crossing their fingers, please let him fall, please let him fall, please let him fall. So in their eyes, they got a steal. So it only takes one organization to love the kid. Who knows?
I'll tell you the real drastic example there, even though it wasn't in the first round, is a few years ago, Ole Miss kid, Jake Overby, Preston's brother, coming out of high school. He ended up playing baseball at Memphis and football, I think, at UT Martin. But he, all the way leading up to the draft, great athlete, wasn't real sure how he would play baseball at the level, you know what I mean? And everybody said, oh, no, outside the top 30 rounds, somewhere 30 to 35th, take a flyer if he happens to sign, great, whatever. And I kept hearing the first couple weeks, or a couple weeks going into that, hey, watch the Reds here. The Reds are kind of funny on him. Just watch the Reds. And I thought, well, I mean, funny might mean 25th round, 20th round, whatever. Reds took him in the 10th.
Yeah.
The one team liked him 20 rounds better than everyone else. But, hey, it just takes one. That's all that mattered.
So, I mean, this kid could fall to the second round and end up at Ole Miss, and it'd be the great lottery ticket, or the Pirates could love him at 18. I mean, there's no way to know. And so when fans go, well, what's he going to do? I don't know. I don't have a source at the top of 32 baseball teams who will tell me what he's going to do. So there is a certain degree.
If I know 100% what a kid's going to do, I know he's signing.
Yes.
If I'm 100% one way or the other, I know he's going pro.
Yeah, you see a left-handed kid throwing 99.
Wherever the crap Bobby Witt's committed to, he ain't going there.
Right. He's going to play ball.
Yeah. I don't know who he's committed to, but he's committed to somebody.
So there's just no way to know. There's no way to know. And so it's just,
you know, 2011 got the question 7,000 times, what's Gavin Caccini doing? He's going pro.
Right, he's going to play pro. He's going pro.
He's going to play baseball. He was taken 6th overall by the Mets, and he signed a professional contract.
And he'd be a fool not to.
Yeah, of course. And that's the thing with Ely, is that I don't, deep down, because I think he, not in a malicious way, not in a hey, uncle kind of way, just in general, because people want to know and are curious about him, I don't know what he wants to do. Deep down, what do you really want to do?
It's very clear that he doesn't really know. And there are people in his life, from talking to people, who want him to play football. We live in the Deep South. Football is religion here. There are people that want him to play SEC football. No doubt. That want him to be 3 years, All-American, go to the NFL, and be the next Ezekiel Elliott or Todd Gurley or whoever, whatever running back you like. Insert his name. And there are people that are around him who are like, dude, if you would give up this football thing and just focus on baseball, yeah, it'd be 3 or 4 year path, but you could be a 22-year-old major league outfielder making on your path to making a ton of money. And if you would tell baseball teams that you're done with this football thing, you're just going to play baseball, you're going to go in the top 10 in the draft.
Which that's the more relevant thing. It's not even the – because his odds – and, I mean, I'm just kind of talking in general. I don't know exactly. I think your odds in general are probably a little better in football to get that huge professional contract at the big level once you're already established than they are in baseball. But baseball can pay you $4 or $5 million before that happens. So that's the deal with him, and you got to figure out. You got to see what a club might be willing to offer in that whole two-sport professional college thing. I don't know. I mean, with Ely, we got months. I mean, we're going to be so tired of talking about Jerry and Ely by the time this thing clicks that – yeah, I don't know.
Well, here it is in a nutshell. No one knows.
Including Jerry and Ely.
Exactly. When I say no one, I mean literally no one knows on any of these three kids. The only one that you can make an educated stab at is Plumlee.
Jerry
and even
Ely.
That, and like you said, the Plumlee thing is absolutely dependent on the position that he plays. It's absolutely dependent. It's very hard to be a quarterback and play college baseball.
Especially the quarterback.
Yeah. You can be a quarterback, but not the quarterback.
I mean.
And there are people that do it.
In air quotes, Seth Smith was a quarterback on the football team, but he wasn't Eli Manning.
Kyler Murray did it. There are people that do it, but man, it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, Kyler is your example, if you'd like an example.
It's hard. Hard.
And he did a lot of that flying back and forth and this on this day and this on this day.
Yep.
And, I mean, exhausting.
Yep.
It takes being a student-athlete to the nth degree of what's required.
Well, let's be real. It's not really possible. And you look at him in his life right now. Did you see the interview he did with Dan Patrick at the Super Bowl?
I did not.
Newsflash, Kyler Murray's not making his own decisions.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Blown away.
Kyler Murray's dad is controlling this.
Yeah. We'll continue in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCutsLawn.com to see the website where they tell you everything they do, which is pretty much everything. 662-607-7773. You can also send them an email at info@gomastercuts.com. You're going to get a free quote. And when you get that free quote, ask about just taking care of your yard all year long, everything from flower beds, pine straw, plants, trees, flowers, whatever, to your normal maintenance of cutting, edging, and weeding. They also build structures, fences, decks, and more there with MasterCuts. Again, just take a call, 662-607-7773.
The podcast also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi, represents clients in 24 states, has advisors in 3 states. It's founded in 1997. Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Cookie-cutter financial planners put you in a box. Pinnacle Trust builds a box just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. That's pinntrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee. I'll be publishing my mailbag probably on Thursday so it doesn't get lost in all the recruiting stuff tomorrow. The mailbag is sponsored by the Westin Jackson. Restore serenity to your soul by visiting Soul Spa. It's the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more on their extensive spa list. Escape from the everyday, rejuvenate yourself in their luxury spa today, and then gather at Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, sip on a creative craft cocktail, or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, And Sunday brunch, Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships, so gather at Estelle tonight. And the podcast is brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about that golf trip with the guys that you'll never forget, an anniversary trip she'll never forget, getting ready for your summer trip, whether it's to the Caribbean or to Florida or Scotland or Ireland or wherever it may be, get in touch with John. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. Give him a call. Get in touch with him and give him some parameters. Give him a budget. Let him know kind of what you're thinking to do, what you're wanting to do, what you're willing to spend, and he'll handle the rest. He'll give you options you will not find on your own. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
Podcast is brought to you by Visit Oxford. You can see everything going on in town at visitoxfordms.com/events. Today from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., there's a thing at the public library with the annual Francis McEwen Library Show that continues tomorrow as well. The Oxford Film Festival begins at various locations around town tomorrow and runs through February 10th. It's beginning at noon. We already mentioned men's basketball. We got Empty Bowls lunch at 11 a.m. on the 7th at the Oxford Conference Center. You know, Thacker Mountain Radio will be Thursday night at 6 at All Square Books, and much more. So take advantage of the full calendar events, including also contact info and list of restaurants, hotels, and more with visitoxfordms.com. Reading here a story that just went up 30 minutes ago. I highly doubt it has an answer in it, but Jerry Neely has officially made his mind up and told reporters he knows where he's going. So there's that as we're closing the topic for the day.
I would hope so by this point. Really? If you don't really know where you're going on Tuesday, you probably shouldn't sign on Wednesday, given that you don't have to sign.
He's not telling the schools prior to National Signing Day with a decision public. He says he made his mind up over the weekend, and as of right now, only he and his parents know the answer to it. Let's see. Family environment and development of me as a man more than an athlete are the key factors that helped me make my decision. Let's see. So anyway, yeah. Coverage is on ESPN2 at 11 a.m. for Jerry and Ely tomorrow, if you're curious. I see that from the Jackson Prep Twitter site. So 11 a.m. Ely tomorrow from Jackson Prep.
We'll know before then.
Think so?
Yes.
You don't think it's going to go to 11 a.m.?
Everyone will play the game.
He just said he's not telling anyone prior to signing on the line at 11 o'clock tomorrow. That's what he said. Unless you're DJ Law and you sign with four schools prior to 11 o'clock tomorrow.
I'm going to guess that he signs the paper first thing in the morning. The school has it, and the school will play the game that we don't have anything.
They will hold it until.
Yes, until he makes his official announcement. They'll know.
I do have a question here. I'm following your thread on the message board. Why is going to a movie better alone? Because you're not talking to the person in the movie anyway. So what difference does it make who's around you?
It's just nice.
But how is it nicer or less nice?
It's not, but it's nice. There are a lot of people that will not go to a movie by themselves.
I mean, it's why a movie is a terrible first date. It is a solitary activity for the
most part.
I'll
tell you why, because if you are like in my marriage, we don't like the same movies. There are a lot of movies that I want to go to that she has no interest in going to. So why should she have to go endure 2+ hours of boredom?
I highly doubt, though, y'all have ever gone to the theater, gone to different movies, and just met back up at the end.
No, because the movies don't match up. The times don't.
You can probably find some that got close enough.
My point is, when I'm on the road, I'll go to movies by myself all the time. All the time. I'll go see a movie that I know she has no interest in seeing.
You don't have a problem with that.
All the time. This whole by yourself thing, this, the, what do people think? That's the one that I get. Well, what will people think? Well, what if you don't know those people?
Well, yeah, who gives a crap what somebody thinks?
Yeah.
That is not my whatever in the at all.
Like, for example, if I were on a Saturday afternoon in Oxford and I just decided, you know what, I'm going to go down to the Blind Pig and I'm going to have a drink. I'm going to sit at the end of the bar and I'm going to put my phone out or get a book and I'm going to have a beer. In the event that I saw people who saw me who thought, God, what a loser. I don't care. Doesn't bother me. And then if I'm in a town where I don't live, it truly doesn't matter. What does it matter? Like when I went in Nashville, I was there for the Ole Miss Vanderbilt basketball game. And I was hungry. It was middle of the afternoon. Ole Miss didn't play till 8. It was like 3. And I went to a place and got some nachos and a couple of beers. Went back to the hotel, took a nap. What difference does it make what those people thought of me? I mean, yeah, they're like, oh, look at the poor fat bald guy sitting there by himself. But what difference does it make? They don't know me. You think they've thought of me once since then?
Yeah, there are situations for both. I'm really in the middle here because I have no problem eating by myself, which, again, it's part of, to some extent, it's part of our jobs. I mean, I've said this on the podcast. One of my favorite activities in the world, though, if you get the right people together, is the long, drawn-out dinner and different things. It's one of my favorite things, if you get the right food and the right people and whatever. But there is a solitary experience that I'm not sure there's much I enjoy more from an activity standpoint or a recreational activity, sitting at the bar at the really nice steakhouse by yourself where you're just kind of talking to the bartender, you have the shrimp cocktail, you order the Sazerac, and you go, hey, I'm going to order the filet, but it's going to be a minute. Just chill. I'll come back to you.
I always tell them, I'm going to order. I'll let you know when I'm ready. I'm not in a hurry. If you get slammed, I'm not going to be upset about it.
Yeah.
And I tip well. I'm good.
My best one with that was a couple years ago in Houston for the Minute Maid tournament because Ole Miss played at like 11 a.m. or something. I'm done working by 4. You just go into the place around 7 and just sit. And I ended up sitting there for like 3 hours just talking to the bartender and watching whatever game was on the TV. I don't know who was playing. And you end up, frankly, he ends up, you know, if he's pleasant and kind of carries the conversation, he's getting the better tip because I'm winding up spending more money just sitting there messing around. I mean, he's like, hey, you want this? Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Entertain me. I'm good.
Fine. I'm good. But there are lots of people who, instead of doing that, will go through the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A and take it back to their hotel room. And there's nothing wrong with that. Do what you want to do. I'm a live and let live dude.
Yeah, Jay Tate is one of these people.
But for me, I'd rather go sit at the corner of the bar. Much rather. And here's where I'm different. I'm the guy that when someone sits next to me and they start to try to make conversation, I've learned, don't tell them what I do. I'm a sports writer. Oh, damn.
You think that opens it?
I know it does. What do? I'm an insurance.
You still say writer? You still say sports writer when you're asked? I know we've had this conversation
before. Typically, because I don't know what else I would say. I mean, I might say.
I told somebody I was in sports media yesterday.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I don't know. If it's something, I don't know why, but this has become a hang up for me, but I've been to the doctor a lot lately, and they always tell you to write occupation on there.
Always write journalism.
Yeah, I look at it, and I think, that's a hard thing to exactly answer. I don't know what the answer to that is right now.
But if I say I'm in sports whatever.
That's the word.
Yeah. I'll borrow one of my brothers. I do it all the time.
Hi, my name's Tim. I'm in corporate.
I'm in insurance. I'm in insurance underwriting.
They don't want to talk about underwriting.
I'm in corporate insurance underwriting.
They have no desire.
I'm in computer programming.
Hi, I work for the IRS.
Yeah, shut that up quick.
I'm an auditor for the Internal Revenue Service.
I don't want to have the conversation with the stranger. And I've had people go, well, you might meet a friend. Oh, for the love of God.
Well, you might find some interesting commonalities.
Maybe, but I'm probably more interested in the book that I've got. Just to be honest.
What are you reading right now?
I'm reading a number of different things. Right now I'm reading...
Why are you not reading one? Do you finish it and then you move on to the next one?
Because I kind of move on. I do the same thing in podcasts too. I'll switch around.
Whoa, but books?
I started a book called.
No, stop. I do it with books too.
Because sometimes I just move. I'll change.
But you're gonna get out of rhythm. You're gonna kind of forget where you were. What's going on?
No, I use what's called a bookmark.
No, I don't mean like that. I mean just the flow of reading the book in order in one book.
Sometimes I just decide I want to move to something different for a little while, and then I'll come back to it.
You're reading four or five books at one time.
Uh huh.
That's a psychopath. That makes no sense.
I don't know what to tell you.
Across genres too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, different things.
Well, I guess across genres makes more sense than the other way.
Yeah.
Reading four detective novels all at the same time would be a little weird.
That would be confusing. But maybe you don't want to read a historical biography every day. You just kind of move on to something different. I listen to different podcasts.
It's different.
Not really.
It is. Well, yeah, it is. A lot of times when you listen to different podcasts, it's because you don't have the next episode yet. You have the next page of your book. The book's not released in chapters, which would
be
a little weird.
That's true. That's how I do. That's how I roll. I'm in different moods.
I had never read an Agatha Christie book till the other day. Somebody had me read one.
I don't know that I've ever read that.
I did it just to kind of say I did. I took the recommendation and did it. It's fine. You know, when you read a book, because you get kind of emotional with a lot of things in a good way. Not being whatever.
Sure.
Do you like to care about your characters in a book? Do you need some type of, hey, it matters how this happens? Because I typically do. I sort of like some sort of thing I'm pulling for to kind of dig me in deeper with it. And what I noticed with the one Agatha Christie book, and I've been told this is the way with most of her books, you couldn't give two craps who dies and who lives. You care about no one in the book as you read it. It's just sort of a fun read. Somebody's going to get stabbed. Somebody's going to get bludgeoned, and we move on with our day.
I've never read her stuff.
Yeah.
No clue.
It's fine.
But yeah, usually I get invested in a character or two.
I need that.
I mean, it makes it more
to keep
pleasant.
Turning the page,
yeah,
I need that.
Sure.
Otherwise, whatever.
I read a lot of history stuff. Fascinated by different people in history. Fascinated by George Washington.
Yeah.
I've gone down the George Washington path pretty deep.
Okay. A little bit of news that you obviously know by now, but we haven't had a podcast since then. On Saturday, I guess the basketball game was about halfway through. Ole Miss baseball was doing an intra-squad. Greg Kessinger stepped on the third base back awkwardly. He messed up his ankle at first. Thought it was pretty serious, frankly. But ended up being just a sprain. All the x-rays, all the tests were negative. Very similar to the same sprain that he suffered January 30th of last year, so almost exactly a calendar year later. He said the Jones fracture and three ankle sprains all on that same part of the leg, same foot, however you want to phrase it, since the end of his freshman season. Mike was optimistic yesterday that he would be back prior to opening day. However, he said that he doesn't want to rush it at all, and he didn't want to get ahead of himself, so he didn't necessarily want to get him pinned in there. But they think he'll be fine. In the meantime, Ole Miss has the correct depth to withstand that. Anthony Servideo will slot over to shortstop. Jacob Adams will play second base, and they'll see how long it takes for Gray to get 100% healed. That's the positive. We wrote about this in 10 Thoughts a little bit, too. Ole Miss has the right people to make this an easy decision. You let him get 100% healthy, you let him be well, and then you probably take an extra 2 or 3 days, and then you throw him back out there because he's important to your season, and you are not going to win a regional on February the 20th. So give it time, get the ankle ready, get him back on the field, and move on from there. There's a video up right now with Thomas Dillard where he talks about watching Gray get hurt. He talks about his time behind the plate. Catching so far this spring is going to get an opportunity there. Talks about offense, talks about team leaders without Nick Fortes and more. So I have plenty of content to you, but talked to Mike, talked to a lot of people yesterday, and that was really the only main idea of it. Mike's still being pretty coy about his rotation for opening weekend. We know it's going to be Etheridge. I would put really good money on it being Houston Rott second, and I do think the third spot is still a little bit up in the air between Jordan Fowler, Gunnar Hoglin, a few other people. So we'll see how that shakes.
You don't want to give Wright State too much time to prepare.
I mean, you already announced Etheridge pretty much as your Friday night guy. So, I mean, they're digging into film there in Dayton, Ohio.
I mean, it's not Wrong State. It's Wright State.
Named after the Wright brothers.
Oh, I thought it was named after Jeffrey.
Yeah, close enough. they switch to a mixed lab like Carly instead of their wolf they have with the Raiders, then we'll know they.
That's true.
They've jumped on that.
That is true. A skittish mixed lab.
I think the Wright brothers are from Dayton, Ohio, even though they flew the plane in Kitty Hawk.
Right.
I think they're from Dayton, so that's why it's Wright State. Huh. I think I'm right here. I might have to look it up during the break, but I'm pretty sure that is the reasoning.
Makes sense.
You good with that?
I'm not gonna argue.
Unless it's played them a lot, so for some reason I keep having all these conversations about strange Wright State history over the years.
We haven't got anything from Wright State in the mail.
You got stuff from Valpo, right?
A lot of stuff from Valpo. They've just now kind of closed it up. I guess it's over.
I told you, Washington University in St. Louis when I was in high school was the one that just kept blowing me up.
Like, she got something from Oklahoma the other day that was like, this is the last day to register.
It's now or never.
Now or never. It's finally started to kind of slow down. Like, she got something from Ole Miss yesterday.
For the most part, done.
It's pretty much done, yeah. Like, in terms of schools are done. And a lot of schools stopped a month ago.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Podcast brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacy there on South Lamar in Oxford. Went by to pick up all Carly Ann stuff yesterday. It's quick, easy, and simple. You can get your stuff transferred there as well. 662-236-2222. Also, if you're already using G&M, help them out. Vote for them as best pharmacy in Oxford. OxfordEagle.com/best of Oxford. Remember, they have the compound medicines as well. There's a clinic in Grenada closing that normally does compound creams. So G&M can hook you up with those as well. Everything from erectile dysfunction to skin conditions to even for nausea and vomiting, a compound medicine that will take care of it all for you there with G&M. Again, number is 662-236-2222.
Don't forget to get in touch with Home 2 Suites in Oxford. They have some availability for Grove Bowl weekend. That's April the 6th. They have some availability for Double Decker weekend, which I think is 3 weeks after that. Don't hold me to that, but I'm pretty sure that's right. And they're taking football season ticket. Not football season ticket. Have season tickets or not. They're taking football hotel reservations now there at Home 2 Suites Oxford. It's just off Old Taylor Road. Give them a call. Get in touch with them. I'm looking for their number. You'd think I'd have that right now. That funny, my emails, man. I've got to get more organized. Home 2 Suites Oxford right here. It's on 101 South Lamar, 662-238-3400. Call that number, 662-238-3400, and make your reservations. For football seasons, a mile from campus, not far from the square, be a great place to make your home base there for the Ole Miss football season, which will, the way that time flies, be here before you know it. This podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons and without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000, and with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And don't miss the opportunity to find out what a great sock feels like. Go to deadsoxy.com, DEADSOXY. Enter the code REBELGROVE at checkout to receive 30% off all orders, including very limited quantities of the Mississippi Line sock, that light blue sock that everybody loved. It's available in very limited quantities, so go check it out. Round out your collection. If you haven't tried a Dead Soxy, you owe it to yourself to give it a shot. Order a pair. See what a great quality sock feels like. DeadSoxy.com. Enter promo code REBELGROVE at checkout for 30% off all orders.
Ole Miss, we mentioned, we will just quickly kind of go over this to close the show today. A&M tomorrow, Ole Miss with an 84% chance to win, and frankly, Neil, it is a must win at the very end tomorrow night.
Absolutely. It's a must win game.
I mean, there's no other way around that. KenPom predicting a 79-68 Rebels victory tomorrow.
Here's the thing. Here's where they are. People ask me all this all the time, so I can give you some not concrete because it's fluid depending on what happens to the rest of the
quick,
world.
Show tomorrow or no? It's signing day.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
We'll have to get back to you on that. Because of the limited number of kids, I don't know the answer to that right now.
Oh,
is there a press conference tomorrow?
There is a press conference, but it's like at 2.
Yeah, I know that. I didn't get an email, I don't think, about it. So, you did?
Either that or I dreamt it, which is certainly possible.
Okay, anyway, move ahead. We'll come back to everybody on that one.
No, I saw one. Yeah, there's a press conference tomorrow. I've already deleted the email. A lot of schools aren't having press conferences tomorrow.
Yeah, that's why I was curious. I wasn't being critical. I didn't know.
Yeah. Frankly, if I were Ole Miss, and I guess if the news is good, I probably have one. If the news is bad, I would be like, punt. Although, I don't know. You could put out a press release just as easily. What were we talking about?
Basketball. You said, here's the deal.
Yeah, here's the deal. They're 4-4 in the league. To even be in the equation, you got to get to 10-8. And frankly, given their non-league, you got to get to 11-7. You got to go to Auburn. It's going to be really hard to win there. You got to play Kentucky at home. It's going to be really hard to beat Kentucky. You got to play Tennessee at home. It's going to be really hard to beat Tennessee. Now, if you win one of those three games, we're having a different conversation. But for the sake of this conversation, let's say that they lose all three of those games. You got to win the rest. So is Texas A&M a must win? Yes. Is at Georgia a must win? Absolutely.
At Missouri.
At Missouri, Missouri at home, must win. At South Carolina, must win. At Arkansas, must win. And fellas,
it's a tough road.
That's a really tough deal. That's the bottom line. Winning in Columbia is going to be hard. Winning in Fayetteville is going to be hard. Arkansas playing much better. They just went to Baton Rouge and won.
Georgia gets a little spunky at home at times.
They got to play Georgia twice. Got to beat them both. I mean, so it's hard. If you're expecting an NCAA tournament bid right now, my guess is that you're going to be disappointed. I don't think 10-8 gets you in.
It feels wrong side of bubble.
And I don't know the rest of the bubble. Does everything
else? Yeah, we're in
a
vacuum right now. Every bubble team has these huge warts all over their bodies. Yeah.
Does everything else go their way? Do they go to Nashville and win two games? Do they knock off, you know, play on Friday in Nashville and knock off Kentucky? Well, that changes the game. But in a vacuum with what's known on the schedule, that 10-8 doesn't feel like it's enough. It's not an NCAA tournament team. They don't play like an NCAA tournament team. They don't look like an NCAA tournament team. They don't make decisions like an NCAA tournament team. All of this gets back, and I know everybody goes, because it gets back, and, oh, McCready bashed the program again. No, I did not. I will say what I have said repeatedly. This is the worst team that he'll have at Ole Miss. His teams are going to get better. His teams are going to get better. His players are going to get better. He is going to recruit players who are smarter basketball players. He is going to recruit tougher kids. This group was bad last year. They had a horrible season. They went through a lot. If you told me they're a little fragile, I'd buy it. I don't know. They did not finish games very well last week. Had two games they could have won, one they should have won, and they didn't. Give Mississippi State a lot of credit on Saturday. They came out from the opening tip, and they out-hustled Ole Miss. And Ole Miss still had a chance to win the game. You could argue Ole Miss should have won the game. You could argue up 7 early in the second half, that's when you finish somebody, and they didn't do it. But that's not bashing the program. There are people that insist that I'm bashing the program. I'm not bashing the program. I'm really impressed by the job Kermit Davis and his staff have done. They're recruiting. They're out recruiting a lot of kids. They're involved in a lot of high profile recruiting races. I think they're doing a great job. I think he has invigorated the program. He has invigorated the fan base. He has people excited. I think he's done a whale of a job. I really do. I think he's done a terrific job. He's proven to be a phenomenal hire. He's got a great staff, and they've done a great job. So if that is presented as McCready bashed the program, and it will be, I don't know what to tell you.
Kind of started the podcast with a sad story. Got an even sadder one here. I just noticed this. It's coming, 8:14 this morning. This is from last August, but I guess because of the last
attention. Oh, the woman at Dodger Stadium?
Yeah,
I saw this. Yeah.
A California woman died in August as a result of being hit in the head by a batted ball at Dodger Stadium, according to Los Angeles County Coroner's report obtained by ESPN's Outside the Lines, and details her daughter revealed to Outside the Lines in December. Lisa Goldblum, a mother of three and grandmother of seven, died on August 29th. The coroner's report states the cause is, quote, acute intracranial hemorrhage due to history of blunt force trauma, and states that the injury occurred when she was struck in the head with a baseball during the August 25th game at Dodger Stadium. Television coverage of the game that night did not follow the flight of the ball or show where it ended up. No media outlets reported what happened, but Goldblum's family didn't keep it a secret and included this sentence in email notifications on the day she died. While the end came suddenly on a foul ball at Dodger Stadium, she had a long, beautiful, and blessed life. Just a crazy deal as you keep reading there on this story at ESPN.com. It's on the right-hand rail as of 9:21 a.m. if anyone is interested. How many Super Bowl plays did you watch on Sunday?
The game was on. I followed it. I watched a good bit of the fourth quarter.
See, we're exact opposite. I watched none of the fourth quarter. I left the party I was at early third and never turned it back on. Nothing. Just I saw who won, but that was it. Like, I kind of followed it on Twitter until I realized it was over just because they had scored and the Rams weren't scoring. But, no, I probably did not sit down and physically focus on more than 20 plays in the game, 25 maybe, something like that. I saw zero commercials. It's the least I've physically watched a Super Bowl in years, maybe over a decade.
What was your take on the Washington Post commercial where they spent $5 million after laying a bunch of people off?
I'm not shocked by anything anymore when it comes to that industry at all. Saw Gannett turn down the $1 billion bid by that other company that just slices you when it buys you. It's just,
I give Gannett credit.
It's whether you want to have surgery yourself or on someone or have someone else have surgery on you for you.
I give Gannett credit. They are the patient that's brain dead, just a vegetable. But they've put in an order that says, as long as any organ works, keep me going.
The advanced directive or whatever is very very clear.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, I've seen bits and pieces of commercials just glancing or whatever, but I have not sought any out. I have watched nothing. Just completely uninterested. I had a good time. I ate some bad food, but that was it. Like, you know.
If you're a young person and you go to work for Gannett and then you get fired 6 months later because they're cutting back, don't put out the pity party tweet. You knew when you signed up what you were signing up for. It's literally the equivalent of dousing yourself in blood and jumping into shark-filled waters. If you get bitten, you probably kind of thought it was coming, right? It's a horrible organization.
And it's not just them. I saw McClatchy laid off 10%, I think, of the workforce.
It's I get that you get this too. I know you do. You get it more than I do. I get it some though. Hey, I'm thinking about going into journalism. Well, all I can tell you is you really need to make sure that you utilize you need to make sure you have a backup plan. And a strong one at that. I don't know where journalism's going. I really don't. And we could do 10 podcasts on it, so we're not going to do it now. But I don't know where journalism's going. I don't know where people are going to get jobs that actually make money.
Or for that matter, where people are going to get their news.
Who's going to cover anything?
Yeah. All right, podcast or no podcast, we'll get that to you on Twitter in the message board when we know. I frankly don't have that answer as of right now. And we will be back, if nothing else, on Thursday with Jeffrey, and we'll recap whenever it is, National Signing Day, any other news coming about Ole Miss and A&M tomorrow night from the Pavilion, rebelgrove.com. In the meantime, a lot of coverage up and more to come. That Ely story is up on the site, and we'll talk to you soon.